And now, another tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Most of us live out our lives in quiet desperation, beset by nameless fears, plagued by unconscious guilts. We adjust our neuroses to reality as best we may and somehow stay clear of the loony bin. Well, fortunate is he who knows what frightens him, for then he can do something about it, as does the young lady in the story you're about to hear. Certainly, there's nothing like action to dispel anxiety. And any psychiatrist can tell you that if you face up to your fear, it usually disappears. Or does it? Well, we'll find out as in a moment we listen to Nightman, written for Suspense by Lucille Fletcher.
But, Miss Rhodes, it's impossible. This is a maximum security prison. We haven't had an escape in years.
Well, you have one now, Warden. Tom Nixon.
How can you be sure?
I saw him in New York City 2 days ago.
Did you know him well?
Well enough. He was my mother's star boarder for years. Why, I sat opposite him at the dinner table from the time I was a girl of 15 until he murdered her. And now somehow he's escaped from here and he's after me.
Miss Rhodes, it's impossible, I say.
Warden Graves, 10 years ago, when Mother was found murdered, I knew it couldn't have been anyone but Tom. I testified against him. I was the chief, practically the only witness at the trial. And when they sentenced him here for life, he swore to kill me. He swore in the open court to get even with me. 10 years I've lived in deadly fear of him. And now he's free.
Where exactly did you see the prisoner, Miss Rhodes?
That's just the point. That's why I know he's after me. I saw him in the building where I live.
Well, I don't see how.
He has a job there, running the elevator at night. I live all alone in a small three-room penthouse on the 18th floor of an office building. The other night, about a week ago, I came home alone from the movies, after midnight. I was already in the elevator before I noticed there was a new nightman. It was Tom. His hair had turned white and there was a stoop to his shoulders, but everything about him, the crook of his head, his high, thin nose, the hollow cheekbones, were all the same. And then he turned and stared at me. I could see those deadly, pale, cold eyes, those heavy eyebrows, that familiar, quiet, sarcastic mouth.
What floor, miss?
Oh, my floor. Yes, the penthouse, please.
The penthouse? Where's that? On the roof?
Yes, on the roof, please. 18th floor.
Okay.
It was like being in a cage with a wild beast. He kept watching me, peering at me furtively as the elevator moved upward with agonizing slowness. I shrank back to hide my face. The light in the car was dim. My only hope was that he didn't recognize me.
Here's your floor, miss.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. You can go back down. I don't need anything, thank you.
What's the matter? Did you forget your key?
No, it's just... It's right here in my bag. I'll find it in a minute.
Want me to let you in?
Let me in? Why, no.
I got pass keys to all the doors. It's no trouble.
No, thanks, but I... No. Oh, here. I have it right here. Good night.
And that was the first time you saw him?
Yes, Warden.
And that was all he did, or said?
Yes, but it wasn't so much what he said as the awful feeling that he was only playing with me, torturing me until he was ready to kill me. Warden Graves, I don't even have a telephone. I've always been afraid to be listed in the phone book. And the only way up to that penthouse is by that one elevator. I was trapped up there at his mercy.
What did you do?
I spent the night crouched against the wall with a flat iron in my hand, waiting for that key to click in my lock.
Mm. But it didn't.
No, it didn't. The next day, I began to wonder if I wasn't imagining the whole thing. Then that night...
Good evening, Miss Rhodes.
Call me Miss Rhodes. Kind of smile I'd seen him give to Mama.
You think he recognized you then?
Recognized me? Warden Graves, I haven't changed. Perhaps I've grown a little thinner, but don't you see, he'd come there only to trap me. He'd taken that particular job, plotted, schemed. It was only a question of when he was going to do it, when the axe was going to fall. He kept grinning at me as I stepped out of the elevator. And then, just as I was going to bed... Oh, is it? Who's there?
Oh, excuse me, Miss Rhodes. There wasn't any answer to my ring.
What do you want? What are you doing here?
It's your laundry. They told me to put it inside in case you weren't home.
You might have given me time to answer the door.
I'm sorry, Miss Rhodes. I'm very sorry.
Don't let it happen again. Good night.
I was just thinking. You've got no way to get up here or down except in my elevator.
No.
Even the service elevator doesn't get up this far, does it?
No.
You're really all alone up here, aren't you?
Yes. Tom. Tom, if you come any closer, I'll kill you. You hear? I'll kill you with my bare hands!
I don't understand what you're talking about, miss. I don't understand what you're talking about.
Get out! Get out! Get out!
There's my buzzer. I better answer.
I haven't seen him since, Warden. I barricaded myself in again that night, and next morning I got down to the public phone and put through the call to you. But it wasn't any use.
It was the day I was out of town?
Yes, but I still don't see why they couldn't have told me. After all, I was giving them information.
Well, it's one of our strictest regulations at Osso Apotomy State Penitentiary never to discuss any of our prisoners over the telephone.
Yes, that's what they said.
So... you came all the way out here in person.
Yes.
Now, you want me to send someone to apprehend this man?
I want you to bring him back, that's all. Back where he belongs.
Miss Rhodes, I can't bring Tom Nixon back. He's here.
Oh, no. No, Warden Graves, please. I've seen him with my own eyes. I've talked to him face to face. Maybe there's someone here calling himself Tom Nixon. But he's escaped. He's free. I know it.
Will you just step this way with me, Miss Rhodes?
No, I don't want to see. I don't want to see his cell or talk to anybody.
Tom Nixon is dead, Miss Rhodes. He's buried in the prison cemetery. I'd like for you to see his grave. This is a photograph taken of him just a week before he died. See, he wasted away quite a bit. He was in the infirmary all last year. Became very religious, too, toward the end. Spent a good deal of his time praying.
Praying?
Yeah. All the fight seemed to go out of him as soon as he knew that he was seriously ill. Now, you'd say this was his picture, wouldn't you, Miss Rhodes?
Yes, it's Tom, all right.
Now, these little personal belongings. Ordinarily, we turn these over to the family, but in Tom's case, well, we couldn't trace the family. Now, you would recognize these as his?
Yes, I don't know them all, but that gold watch. He used to wear it every Sunday. At Mother's.
He wrote a couple of notes before he died. To a fellow prisoner and to the prison chaplain. Yeah. You recognize this handwriting?
Yes. This seems to be Tom's.
Well, Miss Rhodes, you feel a little better about your elevator operator now.
You must think me a fool. An awful fool.
No, not at all.
But the likeness was so extraordinary. It was almost like seeing a ghost.
A ghost? Oh, come on, Miss Rhodes. Now that you've gotten all this off your chest, isn't it perfectly obvious? That poor night man's done nothing or said nothing to you at all out of the ordinary. It's only that, well, you seem to be the victim of some kind of a guilt complex.
Guilt complex? Well, I'm not guilty of anything.
No, well, what I mean is that Tom has been on your mind now for 10 years. You testified against him. He threatened you. Gradually, you came to see him everywhere.
No. No, only this once. Only these last few nights.
All right. But now you know the truth. That should clear your fears forever. Tom's dead and buried. Go back and take a look at this night man again. Now that you know Tom's dead, I'll lay odds the whole resemblance will vanish.
I hope so.
My advice to you, Miss Rhodes, would be to go straight home. Use that elevator as much as possible. Get acquainted with this night man. For your own sake, try to get the better of these hallucinations. But that's all they are. Just hallucinations.
Good evening.
Evening, miss.
Could you help me with these bags, please?
Okay. That all, miss?
Yes, thank you. This is for you, Charles.
No, thank you, miss. I never take tips.
No, it's all right. I'd like you to have it. I'm sure the superintendent wouldn't mind.
The superintendent hasn't anything to do with it.
No. Well, aren't we going to start?
Yeah. All right. Been out of town?
Why, yes, I have.
Yeah, I haven't seen you for a couple of nights.
I was in the country, visiting with a friend.
Oh.
It's a beautiful weather out in the country this time of year.
I wouldn't know.
Well, my floor already.
No, it's not.
Well, then why are we stopping?
The elevator's stuck. Power's cut off.
Cut off?
Uh-huh.
But how could that happen? It's never happened before as long as I've lived here.
Well, sooner or later, I guess it had to happen.
Well, isn't there some way we can get it back on? Some buzzer for the cellar or something?
If the power's off, the buzzer isn't working. It's a wonder the lights are still on.
The lights?
Yeah. They'll probably go out in a minute, though, and then it'll be black in here. Black as the grave.
Oh. Let's get out of here. Open the door.
Can't. She won't budge.
But you haven't even tried.
I don't have to try. We're stuck between floors. The door's flush with solid wall.
Solid wall?
Yeah. Kind of like being bricked up in a cell.
But there must be some way out of here. Isn't there a little door in the roof? Something you can pry open? Something you can climb up out of and into the shaft?
Don't see any.
But what are we going to do? What are we going to do?
Wait.
Wait.
Wait until somebody comes along downstairs and finds the elevator stuck and then rings up the superintendent.
But that might be ours.
Might be.
No! Help! Help somebody! Help!
You're wasting your breath. Everybody's left the building. I know because they're all signed out. Nobody's down in the basement. And there won't be any passengers ringing for an elevator this time of night.
You seem awfully sure about all that.
Jumpy, ain't you?
No. No, I suppose really there's nothing to be afraid of. Sooner or later, they'll come.
Oh, sure. Sooner or later.
It's just that being stuck up here between these...
You're not Jumpy on account of me.
You? Why, no. No, of course not.
But you were kind of jumpy the other night. With me. Weren't you?
The other night?
When I brought the laundry into your apartment. Unexpectedly.
Oh, that? Oh, well, that was a mistake.
A mistake?
I just thought you were someone else, a friend of mine. Someone I've always been afraid of.
Oh.
But now I've learned it couldn't be you because this friend's dead. Dead and buried.
Dead and buried?
Yes.
What was his name? Maybe I know him.
Oh! The lights went out.
I knew they'd go sooner or later.
Oh, no. No, they can't. I can't stay here alone in the dark with you.
Oh. So you are jumpy with me.
No. No.
I thought you said this guy was dead and buried.
He is. He is. I saw him grave.
What are you screaming? What are you screaming like that?
I'm not screaming. Only it's so dark in here. So close and creepy and...
What did you do to this friend that makes you so jumpy?
Do? Do to him? Well, nothing. I didn't do a thing.
No.
It was he. He threatened me. He was a murderer. He killed my mother in cold blood 10 years ago. He was our boarder for 10 years. And one afternoon... Don't move! Don't move!
I'm not moving. Go on.
One afternoon, I came home and... There was Mother lying on the floor with her throat... No! No, where are you? I can't think!
Go on.
No. No, I can't stand it! I can't stand it! Tom! It's you, Tom, isn't it?
I thought you said your friend was dead and buried.
Stop it! Stop torturing me! Tell me the truth. You escaped, didn't you? You didn't die. And it was someone else's grave. Just as I thought, you escaped and found me here. Answer me! Tom, where are you? I can't see you! No! No! No, Tom! Tom, no! I didn't mean it. I didn't. I didn't mean to send you there. It was only because I loved you, Tom. I loved you for years and hated Mother. And I hated you for loving her. It was only to get revenge on you both that I killed her and framed you. Oh, Tom, Mother was so cruel to me. She treated me like a slave. And all the time, flaunting you in my face. If you'd spoken one kind word to me, Tom, at the trial. One word. To let me know you loved me. You're going to kill me. Aren't you, Tom? No! No, Tom, I don't want to die! I don't want to die! Why are we going down?
There's a passenger ringing in the lobby.
Then... You're not Tom?
No, miss.
You're not going to kill me?
Not me.
It was all just a crazy hallucination, like the warden said. Just because the power went off and you look so much like John Nixon. Oh, forgive me. Please forgive me for being so absurd.
There's nothing to forgive.
And you'll forget about those silly things I said, won't you? I didn't mean them. It was just because I was beside myself.
What silly things, ma'am?
Oh, those silly things about my mother and Tom and... Here, this is for you. No, I insist this time. I insist.
I'm sorry, but I'm afraid I never accept tips.
Oh, but please.
Particularly from a dame who framed my twin brother. Good evening, Warden.
Good evening, Lieutenant Nixon.
She's confessed.
Yes, I thought she would, Lieutenant.
No. No!
Suspense.
You've been listening to Nightman, written for Suspense by Lucille Fletcher. In a moment, the names of our players and a word about next week's story of Suspense. Heard in tonight's story were Ginger Jones as Stella, Alan Manson as the Nightman, and Bob Donnelly as the Warden. Listen again next week when we return with The City That Was by Richard Wheel. Another tale well calculated to keep you in
suspense.